I wish to extend greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us. Lord, we just ask that you would help us be faithful to you in this world. And Lord, that you would give us wisdom as we open our minds and our hearts and our mouth, Father, to you. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Appreciated that dare to be a Daniel. Having a purpose firm and standing on it. I've got a lot of thoughts today, so pray for us. We might just be able to get them clear and deliver them the way we should. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, Yet once more, signifieth the reproving of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I want to, first of all, touch on clearing up just a little bit of some thoughts that come whenever we say that, whenever we're talking about following Jesus and the purpose of the blood of Christ. Some people, whenever we have talked about Christ dying, say that, well, if God could just forgive sins, why did Jesus have to die? That it's not God's justice that's being satisfied by Christ's death, but it's Christ releasing us from Satan and his bondage. And sometimes people think that we're saying that God is not going to judge this world, or He wouldn't want to, or He's not a holy God, and He's not a righteous God. And we don't want to take away from that at all, because He is holy, and He is righteous, and He will judge this world. And the offer that He has of repentance shows that He also has mercy, and He also has grace. And He also will receive those who return to Him. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. That He is a consuming fire. And that there will be a day that vengeance will be His. And everything will be brought to His feet. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is the Lord. Christ came into this world to deliver us from the bondage of Satan. This world and God are at odds with each other. The Bible says that whosoever be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So anyone who is still in this world, living this world, loving this world, is the enemy of God. And there will be a day of reckoning. There will be a judgment day. There will be a time when Christ splits the skies riding on the great white horse, and He will come back triumphant as a king and destroy all of His enemies. Some people think that because we're non-resistant, that we don't have any fight in us. Well, that's wrong. We're waiting for our king to say, go to war. But He's told us while we're here at this time that we're not to. We're to love our enemies and do good to them that hate us. We want the best for all people. But we don't fight because our king has told us not to. And that's what, whenever He returns, His armies and His saints will come with Him, 10,000s of them. And they will destroy this earth. He'll speak, and His armies will be with Him. And there will be a day of reckoning. The problem is that this world and heaven are enemies. Christ has given us the opportunity to repent and return back to Him. Whenever man has chosen to fall away from God, he chose to leave God. He became God. He became an enemy of God. God has pursued, and He has given us the opportunity to return to Him and to turn back. And anyone who refuses to do that is under wrath. Our message is a message of judgment. It's a message of warning that this world is in danger. This world is going to be destroyed by a holy God. And the only refuge that this world has is to return back to God. Surrender to Him. And to return back to where we are supposed to be. If we refuse that one and only offer, there is no hope for man. If you pretend that you can accept Jesus, but never repent or never turn from this world back to God and back to His kingdom, back to having Christ as our Lord and King, then you have nothing but a false hope. God is looking for men. God is looking for women. God is looking for people who will be what He wants them to be right now. Who will be what He wants them to be. God is looking for men like Daniel. Men who were willing to stand. Men who were willing to become a part of His army. Men who are willing that if they were in the battle and they got captured and they got thrown in a dungeon all by themselves somewhere, are still going to be faithful to their king. They're going to be faithful to their king wherever they find themselves in life. God's not looking for people who can't stand without anyone else. He wants people who are able to stand. And if possible, to stand with someone else for the same cause and in the same army. But if you find yourself captured and thrown in a dungeon or separated, you have to stand alone. You have to stand strong against the world. You have to be a man or a woman. But you have to take your place, whatever situation life throws at you. I use an illustration sometime that whenever I'm talking to women that are having concerns about whether they should dress modestly or not. Or maybe some men having concerns about having to stand out in the crowd and be what they need to be. And I give an illustration about how excited somebody is about their football team. And I usually ask wherever they're at, if it's in South America, I ask which soccer team are the two rivals in the country, or which country their team rivals about. And one of them will say, well, it's this team. And one of them will say the other team. One of them say, and then I'll ask them, what color does this team wear? And they'll be green. And then I said, well, what color does this team wear? Well, they're blue. And I said, okay, let's imagine that you went to a soccer game and everyone in the stadium had a green coat on, or green colors. They painted their faces green. They paint their hair green. They wear the jackets and the shirts of the green team. And you're the only one in there that is for the other team. Are you going to put a green shirt on so you'll fit in nice and easy? Or are you going to walk in there with your blue shirt and stand right in the middle of them and cheer for your team? And every one of them will say, I'd go right in there and stand with my colors on. How can people support a team like that and think it crazy or odd for a Christian to do what Christ wanted them to do? How do they think it odd that to be distinguished and wear the marks of a Christian, to dress modestly, stand out from this world, to wear a covering, to do what's right, to love our enemies, to not go to war against and not go to court and law against our brothers or anyone else, to turn the other cheek, wear your colors, be a man, be a woman, be a soldier for Christ. And don't be ashamed of being that. If you're ashamed of Him and His words, He said He'll be ashamed of you. Just like that illustration on the football team or the soccer team. This world isn't ashamed of their colors. And if we can't be at least as bold for our God as this world is, we just well be a part of the world. God's not looking for some mediocre follower. He's looking for people who are willing to follow Him to the death, whatever that cost, whatever it takes to be faithful to Him. Christ is looking for soldiers. He's looking for men who'll take charge of their homes. He's looking for men who'll stand in this world. I get so sick of hearing about these conferences that so-called Christian men are having and telling the men that they need to just go home and apologize to their family for being so hard on them, being so rough on them. that they need to go home and just you just humble yourself to your family and you just tell them you're sorry. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. A man doesn't need to get a hold of his female side. You're called to be a man. Be one. You make decisions that are right and stand by them. You don't have to apologize if that decision turns out that it was a wrong one. You stand by it. When you're corrected, go the other way. You don't have to apologize for seeking the Lord in whatever situation you are in. There's people that their families will follow them one or two or three or four places because they're looking. They're on a journey. They're pilgrims in this world. And they might see the problems where they're at, and they'll step out of that problem, and they see somebody that's got just a little more light, and they'll go to them, and they'll start fellowshipping with them a little bit. But then they begin to see there's no light here either. And so they go and they search for some other group, and they find another group that's got a little more light. And then after a while, it's just the same old thing. They learned a little each step. They're on a pilgrimage. And their family might get disgusted. Well, he just makes all these bad decisions. He goes over here a while and then he's over there. We just can't trust him anymore. A man, this world, we're on a pilgrimage. And you keep searching until you get to where you're walking in the light. And you can have fellowship with others that are walking in the light. Keep on. I don't care if you have to change 100 times. You be a man and you keep walking in the light. New wives, new children. You trust your father. That's your responsibility. That's your responsibility. He's the one to make the decisions. You stand behind him. Too many families get their roots wanting to find something comfortable or wanting something that they can feel secure in this world, that they can have peace in this world and have this comfort and security that this whole world is looking for. And then they start finding that someplace, and then their father moves on, and then they get discouraged at their father. That's out of order. You be a man. You make the decisions that you need to make. And you don't have to apologize for them. You do the best you can. You don't have to be mean or cruel. But you stand by what you do. Even if it costs you. There's a verse in the Bible that says, a man that swears to his own hurt. How's the verse go? He tells something. He says, I'm going to do it. And he stays with it. Even to his own hurt. And changes not. He's got a purpose. I'm going that way. And I'm going to stick with it. I may make some mistakes along the way. But I'm going to get on that path. God is going to judge this world. This world is condemned. Get out of it. And you're going to look unstable to people. You're going to look like the wall you're building, a fox could run over it and it'd just fall down. Look who's saying that. Look who's saying that. The people who are trusting in a wall that has already fallen down. They say that what we're doing can't work. It'll fall. It'll blow over. We're just waiting for God to judge it. You just keep faithful. You just keep building that wall. Let the world say what they will. Get on the Lord's side. In your home, men, you're not called to be a politician. You're not called to be a buddy. You're called to be a man and a father. Be a father in your home. Be what you need to be. As we live our life, we're going to run across people that it's going to be hard to deal with. We're going to run across people that's going to make our life inconvenient. We're going to run across people that we're going to have to be tested. There are going to be people in our lives that are going to be real challenges to us of whether we're going to be faithful or not. You know, right now we're not facing much persecution from the government. We're not threatened by being put in prison for what we believe or what we're going to do. But there's a bigger threat. And it's just as real. That threat is trying to challenge us to return back to this world. Now, I'm not saying going back to the clubs or the bars or the drugs or anything like that. I'm talking about the attitudes of this world. Selfishness. If you're going to be a man, Jesus said there was people that will speak evil of you and say all manner. They'll exclude all manner of evil against you and they'll exclude you. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. But there's a challenge there that we're going to have to endure some things by our family, by friends, by people who call themselves Christians, maybe somebody even in our own congregation. But you know, our calling is to overcome those things. There's things that happen in church and with other people that might offend you, that might upset you. But God's not even worried about what they're doing. He's worried about how we respond to it. He'll take care of them. He'll take care of them. We've got to learn to be men. And a man is going to get some bruises and bumps in his life. And we've got to overcome them. We've got to rise up above them. There's maybe people that are going to be a challenge to us. Well, instead of trying to figure out how I'm going to fix them, try to figure out how am I going to overcome and do what's right in spite of them. How can I be a blessing to them? You be a man. You rise up above those things. You rise up. And you overcome evil with good. Maybe someone's just being pretty demanding on you. Maybe someone's just really just asking a lot from you. They just always want to borrow something. Why don't we do what Jesus said and just give it to them? Not even ask it back when they borrow something. Whenever someone wants something from you, a lot of times I know this is my tendency, that I get to wondering why whenever people on the street and you know they're not going to do anything good with what you're giving them, my tendency is to start getting critical of them. But it's something God is trying to work on in me. Whenever people seem to be taking advantage of us, we want to bristle up and get defensive about it. Why don't we just do a little extra and overcome it? Sometimes we think, well, they're going to defile me. Be stronger. Overcome it. Some of the things that we face and some of the problems that are here, they're going to appear pretty minor whenever we stand before the Lord and we read about those who went to the stake. We had to endure somebody that really, they got upset with us. While the next person in the judgment line got hung by his thumbs in a dungeon somewhere. Oh, they ask something from me and I just don't really want to give it to them. Somebody else got their tongue cut out because they were blessing people that were cursing them. We got to bring it home. Be a man. Be a soldier for Christ. The only way a church will work is when everyone goes beyond and above what's required of them. And then those that don't, just gives you an opportunity to go above and beyond. If you're never challenged, you're as strong as you're ever going to be. And if you can't take a challenge, you'll never take a dungeon. Because you'll never be strong enough to survive there. If you're not strong enough to be a soldier among friends, how do you think you'll ever be one among enemies? Friends got their flaws. Go the extra mile. Overcome it. See, the problem is, if you get drawn into this battle of fighting like the world fights, you're of the world. And when Christ comes back, those who He's going to fight and destroy are of the world. We're at war, not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers of wickedness in high places. And when we yield to that wickedness, no matter how holy we may appear to others, we're in the same boat. God is going to judge this world. And if we're a part of it, We're under that judgment. Flee the wrath to come. Christ overcame Satan. He broke the bonds of His power. He shed His blood to set us free from sin and its bondage and its grip and its power. He set us free from this world and its systems and its thoughts and its ideas. And we have one way of escape. And that is to flee into the shelter of Christ's kingdom. When everyone does their part, it'll work. When everyone does what they're supposed to do, we can all work together. We don't have to mandate things. You do your part. And if someone isn't doing their part, jump in and help them. Make up the difference. Make up the difference. Someone's cranky and hard to get along with, you just spend more time with them. And you just be a bigger blessing to them. I think God gives a perfect church with a lot of bad people in it to help those that are strong become stronger. He'll take care of the weak ones. Sometimes if He gets us out of the way, He can probably help some of the others. But if we're standing in the way, He can't even help them. God's calling you to be a soldier. Our battle may never be with the fire and the sword, but it's just as real. In fact, it's more dangerous. If we just happen to hide and look out for the army or the military or something, we can see our enemy. It'd have a way of drawing us together naturally. But in the time of ease is when it's most dangerous. Soldiers all in the dinner hall, sitting around drinking coffee, aren't much match for the military, for the army outside, getting ready to storm in. You get a soldier out there watching on his post, and everyone around the post is watching. The army's going to have the enemy is going to have a hard time defeating them. But if everybody's in the dining hall, just sitting back and drinking coffee and taking naps and just taking it easy, and the other army, the enemy, slips up on them, it's not going to be much of a battle. That's when we're called to be the most alert. When the world says, peace, peace, that's whenever it's going to get dangerous. And that's for the time we're living in. Everyone's just saying, oh, just have peace, peace. Don't speak out against something that's wrong. Don't be too critical and judge this world. This world is already judged, and we're trying to warn it and call people out of it. Be a soldier. Don't be ashamed to tell this world that it's wrong. This world is crying out, oh, don't judge us. Don't tell us we're wrong. You're just being critical. You're not being Christ-like. Well, that's what Christ did. They hated Him because He warned them of the pending doom of this world. This world is doomed. And we need to warn them about it. And anyone that tells us that we're just being too zealous or immature is just trying to lure us back into the same trap. I've heard that all of my life. I remember one time Kevin and I was going out 20 years ago to preach at a thing, and Kevin told this man that there was a strip club or something in Monette, and we was just going to go out there. They was going to have a big thing, and we just went out there and stood in the parking lot with our signs. And this Kevin told this man that where we were headed, and he'll grow out of that one of these days. He'll grow out of that one of these days. That zealousness to go do stuff like that. I'd heard people, young men would get all excited, even in the evangelistic church that I was in. There'd be someone get excited and get worried about sin and start preaching about hell, and they'd just really go for it for a while. And I remember hearing one lady one time, a young man had got all zealous and was really going after it. And after about a year or so, he just kind of toned it down and just kind of started blending in with how things are. And I heard an old woman in the back of the church say, "Oh, he's maturing so beautifully." I thought, maturing? He's apostatizing right in front of your face. That's what I thought whenever that man said, "Oh, he'll get over it one of these days." I don't want to get over it. I want to be faithful. I want to wear my colors till he comes. And I don't want to be ashamed of him. It's a blessing. Some of you will hear about it a little more, but it's a man that wrote a book that we appreciate. He told about the Anabaptists and their zeal to be faithful. And now, 20-some years later, he's saying, "Well, I just wrote that and I was just really immature." He said, "You all will get mature one of these days. I hope and pray you do. Well, I hope and pray we don't." He accused us, "Yeah, you're being like them early Anabaptists. You're just immature and full of zeal." I wanted to throw up. Sickening. To think that maturity is just sitting in a little quiet corner of the world somewhere. Just be a still of the land. When Jesus came on the scene, He bothered people. Everywhere He went. People didn't feel comfortable around Him. We're either on the world's side or we're on God's side. And when we just start floating and coasting, we're on the world's side. If you're walking uphill or paddling up a stream, when you quit paddling, you don't just stop and rest. You start floating right back down. We're paddling towards the kingdom of God. And when you quit paddling and you find a resting place, when you quit being a pilgrim and a stranger in this world, you may still look the same, you may act the same, you may even have your oars doing like this, the same, out of the water, but you're floating down the stream with the rest of the world. Our God is a consuming fire. And He is coming back with vengeance. It's going to be bad for people to go to be with their master forever, Satan. It's going to be bad for them to be with him forever. But then you add the wrath of God on top of that. God came to save us from the devil and from that wrath. Not so that He could change His mind about it, so that we could get on His team. That's why He died. So that we could be set free to get back on His team. God is still angry with the wicked every day. God will still judge this world. We're just not on their team anymore. Because Christ shed His blood to set us free so that we could return back to His team. We could change our colors. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? May the Lord add His blessings. Does anyone have anything you'd like to share or add?
I'd like to add in that Luke 16:16, we're pressing into the kingdom. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law that fell. As strong. Earth and heaven fell away, but nothing
of
the word fell away. That's strong. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Jesus was accused a lot of this. The holy people, the Pharisees, they accused Him for using Satan to cast out Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, "If a kingdom is divided against a kingdom, it has an end."
Amen.
And the Anabaptists were a kingdom one day. I believe that they got divided.
Yeah.
I think it started in the
heart. Amen. Amen. All ties together.
Jesus, Paul spoke about a family or a marriage. He took a marriage to bring the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all tied together. That's our danger here. We're never going to be divided. We're going to have an
answer. Amen. Amen. Each man needs to be the man of his own home. Peter said, "Well, what shall this man do?" He's heading off track. Jesus told him, "You don't worry about him. You be faithful." And if a man is faithful and does what he's supposed to be, it'll be decided for him that he can't be a part of a group anymore. Follow Jesus. It's amazing how many so-called right churches, you just do what's right and you'll get rejected. You be a man in your home and you'll get rejected.
mature, as maturity is seen dying, as we see stay faithful and stay on the Lord's side and fall down and get up and keep going.
Amen.
I know there is maturity and understanding some of the things that I remember being worried about, things that I shouldn't have been worried about, and things like that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the love of God and the desire to do His will, whatever it costs, whatever that means, whether it be friends or family or looking at the world as idiots or whatever. That's what we're talking about. And I thought about the disciples. One of them matured. The unreasonable, but it's of this, and the reasonableness of being able to make a little good out of it for himself. He started looking at things the way the world does. The others, he can make a statement.
Amen. Amen. Our maturity doesn't mean we haven't made mistakes. You learn, but you keep pressing on with the same zeal in a better direction. That's the key. When your maturity stops your zeal, it's messed up. When maturity messes up your willingness to be separated from the world, it's wrong. When your maturity causes you to not tell the message of the cross so that you can speak a little more to a few more people in a few more places, it's wrong. The message of the cross is hated by the world. And when it's accepted, when you're accepted by the world, it's wrong. Amen.
And those children see their dads, and there's two kinds of dads, two kinds of soldier dads. The ones who are in it for themselves, and they typically come home and whine and complain, you know, oh and hum, oh poor me, well, we just got to get through this just so we can get paid. And the children that see this think, I don't get a soldier. And there's the other dads that are soldiers, and they love it. And they're in it because they believe in the cause. And their children do that and think, my dad is a man. But in both instances, just because their daddies are soldiers doesn't mean that those children are going to be soldiers. They get to a point in their life where they got to choose, am I going to be a soldier like my dad, or am I not? And that just is an interesting thought, you know, because so we hear, oh, yeah, this is what we want our children and grandchildren. Well, if we as men aren't real men, aren't real soldiers, are just in it for ourselves, well, you can just kiss your children being wanting to be a soldier for the Lord. Goodbye.
Amen.
The second thought is, a man asked me once, well, that specifically, I think he's kicking the idea around, spoke to him a few weeks ago, and he kind of would like to just move out here, but he's a little gun shy. He thinks he's made a lot of bad decisions in the past, but he was seeking the truth. You know, but he said, how was it for your wife? How was it for your wife when you came out here? I mean, you're preaching so much, you're going, you're just going. You come home, and you work, survive, and you're just fighting all the time. Well, she's a soldier's wife. Soldiers go to battle. We fight, that's what we are. It's not like we're a National Guardsman where we just are in it for some money once a week, once a month, or you know, whatever, or we just do it for fun. I mean, this is who we are. And I said, and when I explained to my wife that, you know, she needs to just put this whining aside and stop trying to make me feel bad, if she ever did, because I was going to battle. She was hindering the battle because she was being a whiner. Because mm-hmm. she's a soldier's wife, and she better just realize that I was created to be a soldier to fight this battle, and that's just it. So you be proud of this soldier, and you build these children up and say, your dad is out there fighting. He may not be here tonight, but, you know, he's a man. And then this man heard that and said, wow. But this idea about having a fight, that's who we are.
Amen.
We're just, that's what we do. But we can be two kinds of soldiers. You know?
Amen.
Maturity, real maturity, is when we continue to use our talent to preach what Christ wants us to preach, just to be faithful to Him, and without being a performance church, trying to do it for performance sake. I remember when I was young, just little, that went with my dad to the apple processing plant in Bakerville, Pennsylvania, Lucky Meat deal, and watching these trucks all lined up. I think they were processing cherries that day or something. Just truck after truck loaded with cherries lined up, and they were just sitting there idling. And I just wondered why those men don't just grab their problems up. Because it's so fun to hear that. The engine just roar a little bit. Well, maturity doesn't mean quit using the truck. It means just use it faithfully. I really like that thought. So many of the people that seem to have zeal and fire is the performance thing.
Amen.
Yeah, I was just really saddened by the verses that you read to start with about get much more than you're going to see.
Amen.
The earth and the heaven. And especially verse 28, then, when it says, wherefore we receive in the kingdom, we cannot be moved. And I was just thinking, the kingdom cannot be shaken as long as we don't add to it or take away from it.
Amen.
When we start doing that, it starts to be able to be shaken.
Amen.
The kingdom cannot fail.
That's right.
I appreciate the thoughts about just brotherhood relationships, going the extra mile, whenever we're building, our work of God is consuming fire, and it's going to be shining someday. How we build, if wood hangers double, you can really make things happen. Wood builds big quick, you know. But when you build with gold or silver, it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. It doesn't seem like much is happening.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you.
Come.